and he joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, sir.
Hi, guys. How are you? There was a time when the Cavs weren't undefeated. Is that what you're telling me?
Apparently, that's the case, yes.
Okay. Yes. I don't remember.
Are you in Knightstown, Indiana right now? That's my only question for you.
No, but I should be there at some point, okay. I would imagine, in early 2025.
So when Sam is done working, he will work at the gym they filmed the movie Hoosiers in, right? I got to believe that's your next.
How many times have you been there now? About eight?
Yeah, I'm going for 10 here soon, I would imagine.
They know you. Outstanding. They know you by name when you walk in.
They actually do.
Amico's here. Oh,
they
good.
Do. It's pretty sad. When I walk in at the Hoosier Gym in Knightstown, Indiana, they say, "Where have you been?"
All right. So here's this, and you can write a column about this. I looked it up. I did the work for you. You ready?
I appreciate that.
Cavaliers are averaging just under 10 more points a game this season than they did all of last season. Their scoring's number one in the NBA. Their field goal percentage, number one in the NBA. Their three-point percentage, number one in the NBA. But they're scoring just under 10 points more per game while taking just 0.9 more shots per game and averaging just a half more assist per game. So they're taking basically the same number of shots, the same number of assists, yet scoring 10 more points per game. That's incredibly impressive, and it says a ton about the spacing and the ball movement and the great looks that Kenny Atkinson is orchestrating for his team. It's been pretty impressive to watch, Sam. What's impressed you most about it?
That's just it. Everybody has, well, first of all, the spacing has been fantastic. And we thought that last season, that if the spacing were a little bit better, then maybe this team could go places. But, and to me, what's most impressive is everybody seems to have raised their game up a little bit. You know, and I had an NBA scout tell me the other night at the game, he said, you know what's so interesting, and Donovan Mitchell's still been really good, but this team has become less Donovan Mitchell and more of the other guys, and that's really what you needed to win. But the thing that's impressed me most, obviously, teamwork, unity, they all look so comfortable together, has been the rise of Darius Garland after what was a very rocky season last year, injury-prone, rocky season. He's been very clutch. He's been good on defense, and he's not been turning the ball over. It's just he's really back to that all-star level and is even better than the guy who made the all-star team a couple of years ago. So I think that, you know, him being the engine that keeps this team going, just his leadership and just on-court maturity has just been through the roof, and I think that's a big reason for all this. Now, there are multiple reasons, but I think that Darius Garland's rise back and even above to the player he once was is probably the biggest reason all of this is happening.
What is Kenny Atkinson really doing? Like, first of all, you got to believe he's clearly the front runner for Coach of the Year after 12 games. That's not too tough to figure that out. But, I mean, what has he done, or has he just empowered these guys a little bit by moving the ball? And, you know, we heard the Steve Kerr quote that was in The Athletic a couple minutes ago, but what has he done? How has he done this?
Yeah, it's number one, he's pushing all the right buttons in terms of in-game lineups and rotations. We've seen the last two games where he's gone almost small ball, you know, last night against the Bulls, they were down by 9 points in the third quarter, and he put in this lineup of Dean Wade, Ty Jerome, Sam Merrill, Caris LeVert, George Nyang, and that lineup sparked him and got him back in the game, and he just stuck with it against the Nets the other night. Again, four guards with Evan Mobley, got him back in the game, got him a win in a game that they didn't play very well. So he's trying things. You know, he's not sticking with the same old lineup. I watched that Nets game, obviously, at the Nets game the other night, and I thought, this is the kind of game that the Cavs lost last year. And it's not all coaching. I think it's, you know, a lot of it, too, is the players just playing at a different level and really believing in each other and being comfort with each other. You know, there was a lot to say for bringing this entire team back, and even though – you know, most of the fans and the media this offseason, I was probably among them, doubting, you know, they're not going to make any move whatsoever. So I just think that it's just, you have the perfect storm and a perfect coach for this group in terms of personality. Because really, I mean, we talk about Garland and Mobley raising their games, but, you know, I mean, George Niang is playing better. Dean Wade's playing better. Isaac Okoro's playing better. All of these guys, Caris LeVert has really been an unsung hero in all this. So all of these guys have just stepped up their game at least a notch, if not three or four. And that's really where the coach came in and said, look, I believe in you guys. And, you know, everybody's doubting you. But if we play the right way, we're going to win more often than not.
Sam Amico joining us, HoopsWire.com. HoopsWire.com. Sam and his staff covering the Cavaliers and the entire NBA. Why, where, how is Evan Mobley better this year?
He's just more comfortable, I think. I think that, you know, repeatedly sending the message, Kenny Atkinson repeatedly sending the message before the season that we're going to get Evan Mobley to another level, basically saying that's a big reason why I got the job. You know, Kenny Atkinson was hired to do that, and to make that such a point of emphasis, not only off the court, you know, talking to the media about it, but you saw who got the first shot of the preseason games, the first shot of the regular season games, and you know, he has said, I want Evan Mobley to bring the ball up the floor even more than he's doing it. I have to really ride him to do that more. So I think the fact that, you know, you've put in his mind, look, we're not just, this isn't just talk. We've figured out a way to get Evan Mobley the basketball more often and in positions where he's more comfortable, and to make him a major part, if not the focus, of everything we're doing offensively. So, you know, a lot of times Evan will start the offense, and he's just been very efficient with the basketball. So I think that's a big part of it, is not just saying, you know, and talking the talk and saying we want Evan Mobley to be more involved, but going out and forcing it to happen. So that's obviously, other than Garland, Mobley's next step that he has clearly taken so far, is another reason we're talking about 12-0.
Sam, that second quarter bucket by Donovan Mitchell where Mobley kind of grabs a rebound and then Mitchell gets the ball at the top of the circle, and it just, he comes in and does a 360. Should that be called a Mitchell or a Donovan, or what should that be called? That play, I jumped off my seat when I watched that yesterday. I was like, I cannot believe I just watched that play. That was awesome.
It was Jordan-esque.
Yes.
You know, I saw that too, and I was like, are you kidding me? Did that just happen? We don't see that a lot. You know, there are a lot of amazing athletes in today's NBA, but the fact that he was able to do that 180 right in the air was pretty remarkable. So, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, he deserves credit. What I said to Jeff. He was like, he looked like a cartoon character when he did it. That's what I said, and then I said, well, it's got to be Spider-Man, right? So, all right.
There you go. That you stole my line.
I'm sorry. I said it earlier. Yeah, thank you.
Sam Amico's joining us from HoopsWire.com. Is the roster, we all know they're kicking butt now. Do you like the roster for a playoff team? I mean, you've won 12 straight games. You're going to the playoffs. And I know it's early, but you're going to the playoffs. You like the roster for the playoffs?
If we want to nitpick, which, why not, then you need another backup big guy. Whether that's, you know, you have to protect yourself from injuries. We're seeing what's happening in the NBA right now already. We're 3 weeks into the season, and I think I had a story on HoopsWire today that injuries across the league are up 35% from this time last year. So you've got to protect yourself. If Allen and Mobley go down for any amount of time, you know, you obviously you can go small with Dean Wade and all that. But I think that, and we all love Tristan Thompson, and he's going to serve his purpose. He goes in there and disrupts the game when he gets an opportunity in a positive way. But I think you need to find another big man somehow, some way, whether that guy ends up being JT Thor, who's on a two-way contract, or, you know, you bring in a veteran guy on a minimum deal somehow. I don't think that's – obviously, it's not pressing now, but I think at some point you need to protect yourself in that department particularly. They've got great depth in the backcourt and the wing positions. You know, they still – Max Strus still hasn't played a game. So, you know, they've got depth there. But I think if you really want to nitpick, you can say you've got to find a guy who can come in and give you 10 to 15 minutes and act as a fill-in starter if you need him as a, you know, either a power forward or a center.
I would think they have an incredible opportunity to go to 13-0 because you're in Philadelphia on Wednesday. No Tyrese Maxey. And I can't imagine that the Sixers would play Joel Embiid on back-to-back games. He comes back tonight against the Knicks. So, in theory, I would assume, since Embiid hasn't played at all, you're going to be playing the Sixers without Maxey and without Embiid. That's a big opportunity.
Yeah, and, you know, they didn't play real well against the Nets at home. They played just okay against the Bulls. That same NBA scout I was talking about after the game against the Nets, he joked, the Cavs can't lose even when they try. You know, you look at it like that, and just they really do. You know, Kenny Atkinson has downplayed the streak a little bit, if not a lot. Most of the guys are kind of downplaying it. My favorite was Darius Garland, who was like, no, I think about it all the time. I do not want to lose. That streak is constantly on my mind. You know, so he's very open and honest about it. And I just think you know, even if Embiid played, I'm not picking against the Cavs right now because they are just finding ways at crunch time to get it done. They're making the right plays, and I think that's what's important more than the streak is. This is a team that has always given itself a chance, and they're playing basketball the right way with a great amount of belief, and that's going to serve you well for the entire season.
Sam Amico joining us, HoopsWire.com. HoopsWire.com, Sam's website. One thing I think is interesting, and you mentioned Max Strus. He hasn't played. And their first-round draft choice, who I think is an intriguing guy with a lot of all-around skills in Jalen Tyson, hasn't played much at all yet. I think that's really interesting. They're letting him sit. They're letting him learn and not forcing him onto the floor. Maybe he's not ready to be on the floor, whatever it is. You've got your first-round draft choice sitting there who hasn't even helped you yet. And I really like his skill set, and I think his skill set is kind of exactly what this team needs, Sam. So with Strus coming and with Jalen Tyson sitting there coming at some point this season, I would imagine we'll see a little bit more of him. I really like that depth they have.
Yeah, it's been great in the sense that, you know, Kenny Atkinson's been playing 10 guys for the most part.
Yep.
And it's hard to get 12 in there. There's just not enough minutes to go around unless you're blowing people out. And that's the thing that you're going to have to figure out when Max Strus comes back is who's playing time and are you cutting into. And we asked Kenny the other night, you know, is Max Strus going to be your starter when he comes back? And he did not commit to that. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are going to be at work here in terms of the rotation. The good news is clearly this coach doesn't have a problem with finding minutes for people who are producing, you know, and that's the good news is that when Strus does come back or if Tyson takes that next natural step and deserves more playing time, then he's going to get it. Same with Craig Porter Jr. You know, we forgot about him, but he's a talented player. So, and I know, Jeff, the Cavs feel the same way you do about Tyson. They love his skill set, think he's a perfect fit for this team. So, you know, look, again, fingers crossed, but injuries do happen, and that's when these guys are going to have to get plugged in and produce regular minutes at some point this season. So I think that those guys, we will see a little bit of them, you know, at some point.
I think it's kind of neat they let Tristan Thompson sit on the bench. That's kind of fun.
Rim shot? Do we have a rim shot?
I'm sorry. I saw him last night on the bench. I was like, oh, yeah, Tristan is on the team, isn't he? Sorry.
I will say this, Andy. Things are going so well, and the Cavs are so happy that if you went down to the game and stood on the sideline, they'd probably give you a uniform and put you on the bench, too.
Oh, that wouldn't be bad. See, that would be cool. Good. Like, hey, who's that middle-aged, out-of-shape guy standing? Oh, it's Baskin down there. do you have next Tuesday circled? It's Celtics in Boston, national TV. Should be fun.
Well, that'd be a heck of a game.
I'm looking forward to it.
You know, I know that if the Cavs are still unbeaten, obviously, but even if the Cavs aren't, and I said this last night, they could lose their, and they're not going to, but they could lose their next six in a row and still be in second place in the Eastern Conference. So, yeah, that's a big game, obviously, for the Cavs. I thought the Knicks game was their first big game. They had to go to Madison Square Garden, and then they won that game. So, yeah, both of those teams, they'll downplay it, but you know it's going to be at the front of their minds when they eventually play. Huge game.
One last thing. Got about 30 seconds. Rest of the East isn't doing so well right now. I think that's really interesting. Nobody's, other than the Cavs and the Celtics, the rest of the East so far, surprisingly to me, just looks blech.
Yeah, that is a huge surprise. I think a lot of that, I've looked at the schedule a little bit, a lot of the Eastern Conference teams have already gone out west. There hasn't been a lot of west trips to the east, so that hurts in terms of your standings. But, you know, teams like the Sixers, who we just mentioned, that are just a mess, the Knicks have been healthy and haven't looked that great. The Indiana Pacers have been just okay, obviously. Orlando's hurting because of Paolo Banchero out. So, I mean, this is a great opportunity for the Cavs to give themselves a lot of space between themselves and whoever's in second and third in the Eastern Conference. Right now, it looks like a two-team race, which is not what we expected entering the season at all. It's been a disappointment for everybody else, but their loss has been the Cavs' gain.
Sam, thank you, buddy. Sam Amico, HoopsWire.com. HoopsWire.com joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Sam, right there. 2020 time, Andrew Hody.